You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Oh, hey, gang, I didn't see you there.
Oh, welcome to National Duke Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the place where you go to donate shekels, spare change. Go rummaging through the seats of your mother's sofa and find some old coins and send them here, because that's how we keep this thing going. Also, co-certified, $2.99. We had a caller yesterday who admitted to having fun with the co-certified app, because it is fun. It's fun and educational. You can find it at thekosherquestion.com, but I would recommend going to nationalbugle.com. And just you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see it there. The co-certified app link, you'll get there, $2.99. And it's great fun. So today I'm taking callers again because it was so much fun yesterday. And the call-in number here at RBN is, Mr. T, can you hand me that number, please? Jot it down for me. It is 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. And we can talk about stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, I guess the thing that is the main thing, now that the Venezuelan business, the overthrow of the Venezuelan government, seems to have fizzled out. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with that? But apparently President Bolton has ordered an aircraft carrier group, a carrier strike group, centered around the USS Abraham Lincoln, to the Middle East to threaten Iran because of, of non-specific information coming from a foreign intelligence service. Who might that be? Well, it's the Mossad. So Israel says, hey, guys, hey, President Bolton, And Donald Trump doesn't even seem to be in the loop on this. I'm not trying to shill for him. He ought to be, but the announcement came from President Bolton. Hey, these Iranians—they're up to no good. They want to hurt your soldiers and whatnot. So why don't you go do some gumbo diplomacy? And of course, President Bolton, who is junior to Bibi Netanyahu, he's used to it. He has been his entire career. So he's sending this strike force over. And meanwhile, another one's going towards... It's in the Pacific Ocean, but it is going towards South America. Venezuela doesn't have a Pacific coast, but if you look at the globe, turn my globe around here, it's only a few 500, 800 miles from the Pacific coast of Colombia. So an aircraft carrier force, strike force, going to the coast of Colombia, which is on board with the United States, I'm pretty sure, that would be close enough to threaten Venezuela. Where's Caracas? Caracas, still close enough. Caracas is kind of in the middle of the country on its Caribbean coast. All right. Should we be even talking about Israel, because this is from Press TV, Israeli lobby wants to criminalize disagreement, and this is in quotations, disagreement with the Jews. Who would want to do that? So this is from Press TV. Press TV is Iranian, but we know all sorts of stuff. And he is the article here is quoting Dr. E. Michael Jones, somebody who I've never spoken to, but I know many people out there are familiar with his work. And E. Michael Jones, he was on Press TV. It's a TV station. And E. Michael Jones cited comments by the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Dannon, he's been around for a while, and he says it's time for discussion is over. We need to make anti-Semitism a crime. Okay, and of course there are a lot of memes out there. Imagine you belong to a group of people so vile that laws have to be passed. Hello. Hello, I hear some familiar voice out there. Oh, that sounded like a voice of a friend of mine. I'm not sure where that was coming from. Okay. Well, back to the show. They have to pass laws to make hatred or whatever a crime. All right. Now, of course, this is what E. Michael Jones points out. Anti-Semitism is simply disagreeing with Jews. And we have that. We have that. It's encoded in laws in a variety of countries. In the United States, if you look at the State Department's working definition of anti-Semitism, it includes criticism of Israel. And of course, this is all taking place at a time when freedom of speech, the First Amendment, is very much coming not just under attack, but it's question. It's because freedom of speech is just white supremacism for whatever reason, but this is what's happening. White people are being vilified. Anybody who, like, the definition of words is being morphed and warped, so simply a white person complaining about affirmative action, that's white supremacism. That's white supremacism, and it's hateful, and it killed Heather Heyer, and it killed 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. And everything's just getting painted with one very, very big brush. But people are seeing what's going on. So E. Michael Jones, I'm continuing with his quote. Anti-Semitism is anyone who disagrees with a Jew. That means anyone who disagrees with a Jew can end up going to jail if these people succeed, he said. The state of Florida has already passed a law making anti-Semitism a crime in schools or universities. This is the work of the Israeli lobby in the United States. Now, the law has been passed. The signing ceremony, I don't think the signing ceremony has taken place yet. Maybe I'm wrong, but I believe it's scheduled. The signing ceremony is going to take place in Israel. That Governor DeSantis is going to Israel to sign this. Let me just see about that. DeSantis, Israel. Let's just see if I shouldn't be doing this. This should all have been part of my prep, but you know, there's a lot of prep that goes into this. Yes. So he was to head to Israel. Has it happened yet? I'm not quite sure. Let's see. Yes, it will be later this month. It will be later this month, according to the Jerusalem Post. So there you go. What kind of country do we have where criticism of Israel is being criminalized? And yet, listen to all the things that people have said about leader of the United, the supposed, the erstwhile leader of the United States, Donald Trump. And of course, I will continue to say that I think Donald Trump was probably inspired by his own supporters and meant to do a lot of positive things and tried to do a lot of positive things, but he's failed. So, you know, maybe he'll scratch his way back halfway, but he seems to be, you know, if you want to call up and discuss this, it's fine. There have been people who said, yeah, they've got something secret on him. People say, oh, yeah, they're threatening to kill family members. To me, I think just what's out in public view has been enough for this effective coup d'etat. You know, you had the whole Mueller investigation, which got to look into everything they wanted. And now there are these efforts to get a hold of his taxes. Now, his taxes, which he's never released, he's a billionaire, and he's got all sorts of business dealings. And do you think that if you have a whole team of lawyers, largely Jewish lawyers, but lawyers, combing through his taxes, that they're not going to find something, that there wouldn't be something? How many people who run their own business or whatever, how many people who have anything, the slightest bit complicated, if you went through all of their taxes, you wouldn't be able to find something? The tax laws are, you know, sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional. Let's see what Sherry from Kansas thinks. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Dr. Slattery.
Hello.
On
your mind?
We're coming up on the June 8th anniversary of the attack on the Liberty by Israel. And there's a book that came out in December by Joan Mellon on the Liberty. It's Blood in the Water, and I'm reading it right now. And I would like to recommend it to people, and I hope that now Rick Adams has interviewed her. That's how I found out about it. Another host on RBN, but I'd mm-hmm. like to see her get a little more, press on this. And
so repeat the name of the book and the author and the title.
It's Blood in the Water.
Blood in the Water.
Subtitle is How the U.S. and Israel Conspired to Ambush the USS Liberty.
Okay.
And the author is Joan Mellon, and she's really done her homework on this.
Joan Mellon. Okay. Yeah, I think I've seen her before.
She used to teach at Temple. I guess she's a professor emeritus now.
Mm-hmm.
But she's really done a lot on LBJ.
Hmm.
She's written some other books about his.
And LBJ TV. Was the president at the time. Certainly
yes.
would have been at the center. Was at the center of the cover up because there was a cover up. I mean, none of this is deniable. And you've got people on record on camera in front of the camera. Secretary of State Dean Rusk, CIA Chief Richard Helms, and Chief of Naval Operations and Chief of the Joint Chief of Staff Thomas Moore, who all publicly went on the record and said the idea that this was a mistake, an accident by Israel, is not true, that they never believed it, that they believed it was a purposeful attack.
Yeah, it's she's really done a lot, and she's found. I've read two other books on the Liberty. I've read Erasing the Liberty, which is mainly the experiences of the men that were on the ship when it was mm-hmm. attacked. And then I read Philip Nelson's book. But Joan has really done a lot of homework and on this, and she's found things that other people haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've tried to cover a lot of it up as far as, you know, the details.
What did you find in the book that was new to you? Because you said you've read some other books about it.
Well, she really goes in. You almost need a spreadsheet or a, you know, like a something where you can put all these Israelis on, you know, and what their jobs were and the positions they held and what they did during the fight to before 1947. And it's, you know, and one thing's interesting, she really credits Mike Piper for mm-hmm. His down, you know, all the stuff that he wrote in Final Judgment right. about
the late Michael Collins Piper.
Yeah, about Angleton, because she feels that Angleton was really, you know, the main one that planned it. But
Angleton.
Also,
edify me on Angleton, because
Jesus Angleton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was. He was.
What was his job? What was his position?
He was chief of counterintelligence, but everything on the Middle East went through his desk, even though it was kind of just something he made happen. But he really had the Richard Helms obviously let him just do what he wanted, and he kept so much secret, and you know, he had lots of stuff in the safes that weren't even available till after he died, and probably a lot of it just got burnt. Anything that could implicate, you know, how, what it really happened with the Liberty. But I'm not quite done with it. I'm only about halfway through it. But it's, you know, she's really done her homework on it.
Okay, well, Sherry, I got a couple of questions for you. So, this seems to be an interest that you've had for a while. Have you talked to people about the USS Liberty?
Yeah, and, you know, my deal is mainly that I think just exposing what happened to the Liberty, and especially what's going on with all our stuff in the Middle East, all our adventures, is anybody I find, young person I find talking about going into the military, I try to expose this to them. You know, This is what you've got to look forward to. This is what could happen to you. Plus all the other problems that the soldiers have had with illness and, you know,
problems. Yeah. So, I mean, the Liberty is even though there's a giant cover-up, When people look at it, it's very obvious that, okay, there was a direct attack. But look at all these people who went to Iraq based on a pure lie, and, you know, were running all over Iraq looking for these phantom weapons of mass destruction and getting blown up or killing people. And then because they've killed people, and then they have this post-traumatic stress disorder, then they wind up killing themselves. We're having 20 veterans a day kill themselves. That's and this has been going on for years. So there have been more, if you're going to count these suicides, and you know, forget about the overdoses, just the suicides, you're talking about more people dying from these Zio wars, these post 9/11 Zio wars. A lot more American service members dying from that than in Vietnam.
Well, and it's the you know, it's people that could later defend our country here if they mm-hmm. weren't trying to get rid of them. Because I feel like once they're out of the military, they do everything they can, including trying to get them on psych drugs so they can't have a weapon. Just, you know, because they've learned too much about fighting, and, you know, they have a modicum of patriotism or whatever, and they don't want those people coming against them.
Okay, well, we're coming up on the break. If you'd like to stay on and talk some more, you can.
No, that's all I had, so thanks,
Patrick.
Thank
you very much for your call.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. This is National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So, I'm looking into another article here, and this is Rachel Maddow. Wow, Rachel Maddow, celebrating human being, John Bolton, President Bolton. So here's the quote. So we're moving on now, but this is the same. The same general business. This is what John Bolton, human being, thought his job was this week, Maddow said on her show Friday night. Both Pompeo and Bolton had clearly gone a bit rogue with their overly bellicose Venezuela comments, while Trump appeared more restrained. And for Maddow, this was, of course, cause for championing the neocon interventionist line. So her quote, "Hey John Bolton, hey Mike Pompeo, are you guys enjoying your jobs right now?" This is really, really telling. So I don't know if this should be a surprise to anybody. I know people who were anti-war people who used to watch Rachel Maddow, and I guess, I don't know, 12 years ago, 14 years ago, did she complain about the Iraq war? I don't know. I don't pay that much attention. She is a lesbian Jew. And so what is it about these people? Here's the thing. If you know a lot of Jews in your real life, in real life, on an individual basis, I don't find them to be horrid people. Yeah, I find them to be okay. I get along with them just fine. There are some characteristics. And if you're dealing with them strictly on a business basis, if it's just business, if you're dealing business with them, maybe you might have a somewhat different opinion, because in terms of business, they have a reputation for being a little bit cutthroat sometimes. But if you got Jews in your office or whatever, they're not horrible people. They tend to do their jobs okay, do their jobs pretty well often. But what is it? There is something about them. There's a kind of a paranoia. You could try to go, personality traits can be heritable, but of course also culture and upbringing and everything like that can impact personality too. So who knows what's the cause of it? But because I would think that there may well be a bit of both. Maybe they do tend to be a little bit more neurotic, a little bit more paranoid by disposition, by birth. Maybe they do. I mean, Irish are more susceptible to alcoholism. There's certain things like that. Black people have certain personality characteristics. They certainly tend to laugh more, right? Don't they? I think so. Is it up? But whether it's upbringing or not, you've got this culture, and the whole Holocaust narrative that for absolutely no reason, all of a sudden the Goyim raised up and 6 million got killed, and it was for absolutely no reason. And therefore, when you see any kind of like what we were talking about in the first half of the hour, any criticism of Jews, you got to stomp that out, because 6 million could die. 6 million could die for no reason. Now, I don't talk a whole lot about the Holocaust. There were a lot of events that took place, and there were some events that didn't take place. But here's, without getting into what I think took place and what I think didn't take place, there was context. And if you were in Germany or Poland or Hungary or Ukraine or a lot of other places in that neighborhood, you had very, very recent memories of Jews playing hardball with you. If you were in Russia, well, you had the whole Russian Revolution. So if we're talking about events that took place in the late 30s, early 40s, what happened 20 years earlier? So we're here, it's 2019. 9/11 was 18 years ago. Okay, so if you're talking about 1939, things that happened in 19, the Russian Revolution was what, 22 years earlier. So not more or less the same period of time. We remember it pretty well, most of us. If we're older, we remember it like it was just yesterday. We don't forget those things. If you were a Ukrainian and you're remembering the Holodomor, if it's 1939, you're remembering the Holodomor. That's only 8-10 years prior. So if you're Polish, you've got the Jewish Bund going on in real time, and they were kind of scary. They never took power, but they were a big force to be reckoned with. If you were in Hungary, you remembered the Bolshevik takeover that was short-lived, but they took over the country. Same in Saxony, same in Bavaria, in Germany. All right, we will be back right after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Donald, where did we go wrong? Hey, if you haven't checked out the my Dear John letter to Donald Trump in an unnecessary foreign accent with that music right there by Filbert Applebag Thursday, check it out. Go to my YouTube channel. It's the Patrick Slattery YouTube channel, and it is the screen down. If you scroll down, if you go to the videos, you scroll down, and you will see one with a different thumbnail than usual. It is the Shoebill Stork wearing a French beret, and it is a Dear John letter to Donald Trump in an unnecessary foreign accent. Listen to it. It's good. And good music, too. Well, just getting back to the whole Rachel Maddow thing, I mean, can they help themselves? You wonder. There's this paranoia. And the paranoia, you know, they have convinced themselves that the whole Holocaust, oh God, was either completely out of the blue, or it was in response to things from the Bible. It was in response to, John, the book of John, the gospel according to John, where the Jews killed Jesus or whatever. And there was stuff that was going on in real time or in recent history where you had you know, the whole of the Demor, the Jewish, primarily Jewish Bolsheviks, who imposed the collectivization of agriculture on the population, and in particular in Ukraine, it just had it resulted in a famine, and millions of people died. And it doesn't matter how many millions; we don't care. Nobody cares, because the only number that cares is the 6 million. It's funny that number is sacrosanct, 6 million. How many people died in the Iraq War? Well, you know, some people say 40,000, other people say 1 million, differs by a factor of 25. What difference does it make? 125, who cares, right? People died, oh, well, whatever. But the 6 million, oh, my gosh. And if David Irving says, well, I don't know, millions. I don't know how many millions. Well, then he gets put in jail. Okay, 6 million. It's sacrosanct. You have to kiss the ring. By the way, I am taking calls. If you want to call and shout at me, like I had a caller yesterday, it's 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. But like I say, if you know them in real life, you can get along. They're not so bad. But there is, you do kind of detect, there is kind of like an underlying neuroses, an underlying paranoia. That's, you know, a lot of everybody, you know, every person has their issues. People are people. But there is this tendency among them. And I think it does translate and gets magnified in their group behavior. I know somebody who, I know lots of Jews who just are really paranoid about Russia. And Rachel Maddow is one of them. So why is she so happy with John Bolton? Because he's taking on the Russians. And why did the Russia hoax narrative, why did they run with it the way they did? Because they're very, very anti-Russian. Russia, you know, there's a thing about the Germans from the whole Holocaust story. And I remember in graduate school having a classmate, just a Jewish classmate, just say, I don't like Germans. I never did. And he can say that. But the Germans, you know, the Germans rose up and they did whatever happened, and now they grovel. The Russians aren't groveling. The Russians were hated before the Germans, and they're still hated. Let's see if Timothy from Washington, what he has to say about it. Timothy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we could talk about all kinds of Holocaust. I mean, we could talk about, you know, the 100 million blacks that the Arabs enslaved from Africa, where they basically would castrate all the boys under 10. And they used them as their siege weapon, massive armies that fled into India. We could talk about, some say, up to maybe 800 million dead Indians when the Muslims came through, Islam came through India. But I don't want to talk about that. What I'm really interested in is the present tense of what's getting ready to happen and what we're coming at in this 2020 election, and basically some presidential mechanics on, you know, what's going to happen here in 18 months. 18 months is we're going to have the election. 16 months we're going to have or 15 months we're going to have the primary. I mean, we're going to have the convention. So that's what I wanted to kind of focus on, was the presidential ticket on the Republican side.
Okay.
Because I'm not real happy. Right. Well, I'm saying this, just for start. And you know politics, Dr. Flattery. You understand the mechanics of it. Mike Pence doesn't bring anything to the Republican Party ticket. Absolutely nothing. What he did bring when Trump first ran in 2016, he brought a massive block of Christian conservative evangelicals. Probably more than half of them were, you know, were the Republican voters. And he, you know, he was the, well, how does he say it? I'm Christian first, conservative second and a Republican third, and in that order. I mean, you got to worry about a guy that talks like that when he opens a speech up. Watch out. But anyways, so he brought that whole block because Donald Trump, kind of a liberal out of New York, Manhattan, married 2-3 times, a billionaire, you know, beautiful wives and all the rest. And so that was enough to sell, you know, that Trump was going to do. You know, he brought the conservative block. So I understand that. But since then, Trump has turned out to be a super Zionist and a super neocon. And now that whole block that Pence brought, Trump has them himself. He doesn't need Trump anymore.
He doesn't need Pence anymore. Yeah.
He doesn't need Pence anymore. So here's the point. And I wanted to run it by you because I know you've been around a while and you've watched this particular individual basically politically evolve from basically a real liberal bow tie type guy to a normal tie, turning out to be almost a Christian.
Tucker.
I'm talking about Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the weapon that he could build, and he could do this. And if he would do this, he would grab that mantle overnight. And that would be the America First, not make America great again, like you said the other day. No, make America, the America First Manifesto, or whatever he wants to call it. The Republican Party blueprint for winning the 2020 presidential election in a landslide. And within that manifesto, he can go through Internet Bill of Rights, put some popularism type things in there, like he came up with one the other day. If you're young and you, in other words, you, go ahead. Well,
Timothy, I mean, I would love it if Donald Trump jettisoned Mike Pence and brought on Tucker Carlson. But my question is, who would be pushing Trump to do it? Where would the pressure be coming from for Trump to do this?
The manifesto. Once Tucker pens that, and if he gets around people like Pat Buchanan, who could help him with it, Ron Paul, even a Don Jeffries, even though he's more on the liberal side, if he were to get around those people and they would pull in all the planks and make it pretty big, you know, 40, 50 things, then what would happen? People would get it, put it in like a little red book, and you remember a little red book from history. When I say little red book, who do you think of first?
Mao Zedong.
But Tucker could do a little red book, and if they accused him of doing some kind of like communist manifesto, Tucker could say, no, red is the color of the Republicans. But with everybody with this little red book with his manifesto in it, he would steal the hearts and minds, and everybody would be saying, look, President Trump, because President Trump's political base is being cracked every day. It doesn't matter if it's vaccinations, immigration, pro-life, you name it. He's as time goes on and the Internet, everybody wakes up that he's not doing anything he said, and it's more or less he's an Israeli first.
Yeah,
he's got his base cracked. Tucker could repair that.
Well,
and so that would be one way.
I mean, I would love that if it happened. And stranger things have happened, such as Donald Trump being elected in the first place. But
absolutely,
it's pretty rare for a president to jettison his vice president. It's happened. I mean, last time was Gerald Ford, who his vice president was Nelson Rockefeller. But then when he ran for in the 1976 election, he picked Bob Dole as his running mate. Now, of course, I guess Ford probably knew that Rockefeller had bad health or whatever. And of course, Roosevelt had jettisoned two vice presidents and then wound up with Truman. So it's happened. I don't expect
another way. Mm-hmm. There is actually another way, because Tucker is born in California, and you got this very unique mechanism in California called the recall election. And you only need like 10% of the previous signatures. That's how Arnold Schwarzenegger was able to become governor with only 4 million votes. I mean, that was the lowest amount anybody's ever become governor, because it was a recall election, and you had a Schwarzenegger that came out
and
of
you
nowhere.
Had, you had Tucker. 50 or 100 people on the ballot.
No, there's three.
No, there's three people. On that election, there was like many dozens of candidates on the ballot. That, like that little midget guy from the little midget black guy from the popular 1980s show, he was on the ballot. It was very easy to get on the ballot in the recall election.
Right, yeah, but there was three main people. Schwarzenegger got 4 million. The Democrat got like 1.8 million. The Republican, Cox or whoever he was, he got like 1.5. But with a recall, it's very low voting. For instance, the last governorship that was just elected was 13 million people that actually voted. But he could actually go in and writing his manifesto with illegal immigration and all the different planks he would put in. The Californians are tired of it.
Well, I'd love it, but I don't think they have Trump's ear, so.
Well, if he could slip in, if he snatches that, look, let me ask you this. If Tucker were to pull that off and he could get that governorship in a special recall election, that's California. You don't think President Trump would jettison Pence to pick up Tucker and have a chance of getting California?
No, I don't. I don't. I wish.
You think he's too institutionally deep then?
I don't know. I mean, like I say, stranger things have happened. We've seen it, but I don't expect anything like that. I think what's more likely with Tucker is he goes on for a while at Fox News, has his following. At some point, they might kick him out and they bring in some Ben Shapiro or somebody else. And then Tucker goes rogue and goes into politics and maybe for 2024. But 2020, I think, is I don't expect him to be on any ballot for 2020. But I appreciate your call. I got a bunch of other callers I need to get to.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Hey, thanks.
Thanks. Okay, we'll go to Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello. I'm not in
Patrick,
trouble.
No, not at all. No, Patrick, I want to remind you that we need to show compassion towards our Jewish friends.
Okay.
One is the book by Richard Goodman, titled Genetic Disorders Amongst the Jewish People, proves the Jews are inbred. They carry that around, I think, as a form of collective guilt. And sometimes I think we should call them out on it, you know, and that their religion, and even in some sectors today, they still allow cousin marriage, right? And the Talmud itself, they even say it's a mitzvah, a good deed for a man to marry his niece. Should remember too that Moses, the founder of their religion, was inbred, and that's in the book of Exodus. So I think it's chapter 6, verse 20, or 20, verse 6, one of the two. So they have that collective guilt. Then, because of the morbidity of that gutter religion, which I call it a gutter religion, that they dwell on their conquests constantly and their persecutions. I mean, they're so morbid because of this tribal ethnocentricity of theirs to such a neurotic level, you know, that just about every holiday of theirs has something to do with a conquest or being persecuted or overcoming adversaries.
Hanukkah is a festival of lights, right?
I thought it was about defeating the Maccabees.
It was about defeating the Maccabees. And, of course, Passover, what's wrong with Passover? I mean, who could object to Passover? You're passing over people so they don't get killed.
And I don't know if that has to do with the Book of Esther, I forget. And their hang-up with Iran.
Purim, that's the Book of Esther.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying. Just the morbidity of their religion becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. And that's what's actually tragic about them in their history, and actually they should be embarrassed by it. And there's a good book by, I think his name is Israel Shahak, and it was about the history of the Jewish religion. What people need to remember is, you know, the Jews will complain about the persecution of the Christians in the Middle Ages, but, you know, they lived in these very ghettoized, prearranged areas under the leadership of their rabbis, and if there were infractions you know, committed by Jews, the laws would be enforced by the rabbis, and one of the punishments would be the cutting off of noses. So just living under Jewish rule is worse for Jews than Jews living under Gentile rule, is the reality of it. They lived under their own tyranny.
Yeah, we'd never cut off a nose. That would be anti-Semitic.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is that they dwell, you see, and they're, you know, reinforced by their own religious leaders, who are going to, of course, sugarcoat their aspect and blame the outsider and cover up for their own crimes and misdeeds. And so this, I think, exacerbates their this morbid outlook.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your call, Paul. I always like hearing from you. Yep. Got a couple more callers I'm trying to get to after the break.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. I don't know what that means, but I do know we're back. We're back. We got two more callers to try to get to. Not much time. So let's go to Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Okay. Oh, well, a bunch of stuff, but you don't have the time. I'm looking up at, you know, what should be pretty much a paradise here in the, kind of the, I don't know, Midwest, not really in the north, south, east, or west here in Kentucky, but, yeah, looking up at skies that used to be a lot more often. They were really nice and blue, but they're not anymore, whatever the heck's going on with the jet trails, but I don't think people understand the scale of the situation when it comes to the force multipliers that the Israelis have. It's something I've been studying on for a long time. And there's, you know, quite a heck of an operation down there. What state did you say you were in?
North Carolina.
In, yeah, North Carolina. Of course, in South Carolina, there was a huge contingency of Jewish involvement in the slave trade, and a lot of people don't realize that they actually fought for the South out of Charleston, the Confederates state, and along with the Cherokees and stuff like that. But it's something I've been dealing with for something like 20 years. If you're familiar with the Truman Show, most of us are on the air unaware. And I just recently got a email back through a certain, not really an email, but a message back from William Benny, who, you know, sounds like basically he's given up trying to find any lawyers to fight this sort of stuff. But one thing that Snowden, Benny, you name it, the different whistleblowers, you know, they hardly ever talk about it, if at all, when they talk about all this domestic surveillance. There's documents from, I think, both Assange and Snowden that show that it's going on, but nobody mentions it when they talk about all this surveillance, that Israel gets a copy of everything. In the last month or so, the NSA announced that they were deleting a bunch of stuff that they collected without authority. Well, nobody else is in the Five Eyes, and that would also include Israel, that pretty much gets a blanket copy of everything. So if you're looking for somebody that can do insider trading, blackmail and extortion, and get what they want out of a government, I think the number one candidate would be Israel. Because if there's any fishing expedition that you're worried about from the FBI or, you know, anything along those lines, Israel's got a copy of everything through these NARIS nodes. NARIS, as a company that they developed, was sold to Boeing. And so the scale of it's almost unimaginable as far as the yottabytes of information. So far, I've not seen anybody post any pictures of any massive server farms like the one in Bluffdale. I almost think Bluffdale is a distraction from other facilities around the world, like whatever the heck Israel's got, because they got to have some place to store all that if they're getting a copy of it. So when it comes to manipulating the elections, or, you know, the John Hagee operation in Texas, you know, they can always make sure that there's plenty of folks that they can head off before they cause problems. You guys, I think RBN's just not big enough yet, or they're going to see censorship happen, too.
I hope not, but it seems to be coming to a radio station near you.
We got to hang together. We're all hang separate.
That's right. Okay, and to my other call I didn't get to, sorry, I expect to be taking calls again tomorrow, so please call back. Okay. And that's it for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.